You know, in the annals of stupid thieves, 25-year-old Marshall George Cummings Jr. of Tulsa, Oklahoma, was charged with attempted robbery in connection with the purse snatching at a shopping center. During his trial, he chose to act as his own attorney. While cross-examining the victim, Cummings asked, "Did you get a good look at my face when I took your purse?" Cummings later decided to turn his defense to a public defender, but got 10 years in prison. And another one, Dennis Newton, was on trial for armed robbery in Oklahoma City. Assistant District Attorney Larry Jones asked one of the witnesses, the supervisor of the store that had been robbed, to identify the robber. When she pointed to the defendant, Newton jumped to his feet, accused the witness of lying, and said, "I should have blown your head off." After a moment of silence, "If I was the one that was there," he got 30 years. You know, crime certainly does not pay, and God is seeking to protect ourselves from it in providing the Ten Commandments. Four commands that deal with relationship with Him, and six that deal with our relationship with others. And maybe the eighth commandment, "You shall not steal," gives me an opportunity to say that although all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful to us, it doesn't all hit us the same way. I mean, some of us might say to ourselves, "Do not steal. Well, I really don't have a problem with that." Well, you know something? Sometimes a message is not necessarily for you. In other words, it may be someone else in the congregation right now that really is struggling with this issue. Maybe there's an aspect of their lives that it's hard for them to stop going to a store and not take something, or different aspects of stealing that we'll look at that maybe some of us are really guilty of, even though we wouldn't admit it. Or maybe this message is for someone else in the future, that ultimately you're listening for the sake of what God is going to do in your life, to bring someone into your life that you need to pass this along to. And I like that thought. I like that thought of being in church and listening to a message and not always expecting that this is about me or this is helping me, that ultimately it's about other people. I think, in fact, the more that we can be oriented in the context of church to be thinking of others and not ourselves, that is a good thought. So it's important for us to listen, to believe, and let our hearts be transformed to the standards that God has for us. So, Exodus 20:15, "You shall not steal." I think there's some things that God is telling us in communicating that, telling us what He believes about certain things. And I think, first of all, when it says, "Thou shalt not steal," or "You shall not steal," I think it tells that God believes in private property. Interestingly enough, a conclusion we come from this commandment, that as God is creator, and He values and identifies with His creator, He calls us to join Him in His creation. That we work, we labor, we create, and God sees us as good when we do something, when we produce something that brings a return, that we call that our own. That it's mine and it's not yours. I mean, ultimately, if God is telling us, "Don't steal," then obviously there must be someone who owns that thing that should possess it, and we shouldn't. So by definition, when God says, "Do not steal," He is telling us He believes in private property. Now, that's not to say that I believe that God believes in the rampant materialism and possessiveness and selfishness of American society. I think for us here in America, rather than reinforcing the principle of private property, it would be us revealing the stewardship that is ours in terms of recognizing what God has blessed us with and how He would have us give that and provide for others and not just for ourselves. But ultimately, I think "Thou shalt not steal," "You shall not steal," does show us that God believes in private property. I think this command also tells us that God believes in personal responsibility. Because on some level, stealing is trying to skirt that. It's trying to warp that. Ultimately, if I am stealing, I am taking something that someone else has done. Someone else has done the work. Someone else has produced the product. Someone else has bought the thing. And basically, what I'm trying to do is taking all the effort they've put in, and basically through no effort of my own, although maybe thieves would think differently, that they think there's some effort that they... But ultimately, they're not producing that product, but they're trying to steal it and ultimately attain to what someone else has received by a wrong way. In other words, in an irresponsible way. So on some level, by God coming along and saying that that we should not steal, he's asking us to be responsible. He's asking us to work. In fact, if we consider what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:28, if you can get there, Mike, before I do, just consider what Paul says in regards to this. In 4:28, it says this, "He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need." So again, here, what is Paul's answer to stealing? That again, rather than skirting responsibility, rather than taking what someone else has done and you know, taking it for yourself in an easy way, no, you work, you go get it, you work hard. I think on the other hand, the other side of that not stealing coin, on one hand you have the personal responsibility. I think on the other hand, it shows that God believes in contentment. See, I think there's a delicate balance for us as we seek to live out God's plan in our lives. Because ultimately, I think each of us are confronted with the reality that we don't have things that we would like to have. And I think that has to do with us on a personal nature, in terms of who we are, in terms of maybe our intellect or our physical bodies or our possessions. So on some level, when we're confronted by what we don't have, again, on the personal responsibility side, God would say, well, go get it. You're not as educated as that other person. Well, guess what? Well, go and be educated. Don't try and steal from their education or take credit for what they do. You go and get it. You know, you don't have something? Well, work hard and go get that thing. But on the other hand, I think there's also the balance of us just being content. That even when we're confronted by what other people have or what other people are, there's a place for us to just be satisfied with what God has given us. Who we are, how we've been created, how we have been made. And so ultimately, when we think about this whole aspect of not stealing, it's revealing these different aspects of God's character, what he believes about certain things. And again, what is the right way for us to attain things? And again, it's not by virtue of taking from what someone else has done, but doing it ourselves or doing without. Because the value and truth of this command should be self-defining. It should be evident to everyone that we should not steal. I mean, even the thief is upset when someone steals from him, right? Or her. Can't forget that, right? Ultimately, you have a thief that steals a TV or steals a VCR or steals the money or whatever. Now someone steals from them, they're upset, right? They understand that it's wrong. It's unfortunate, kind of the selfish orientation that comes when we don't even think about how other people are impacted. You know, we also think about not only the heartache that comes to us when we are stolen from, but the expense we go through to avoid being robbed. I mean, I like a line in a song that says that we could pull the nation out of debt for what we spend on locks and keys. Now expand that to internet security and protecting accounts and protecting things. It always is amazing to me what honest people have to do for the sake of dishonest people. But again, it's all part of that encouragement. It's all part of that wisdom that God had, that when it came to his top 10, when it came to the 10 commandments, you know something? Do not steal should be part of that. Because again, he understands the connectedness that we have to the things that we possess, to the things that we've worked for, to the things that we've gained. I mean, I'm not sure if you've ever been robbed, if you've ever had something stolen from you, but you know something, it's amazing that the suspicion, the threatening, like what if I had been here, what if this happened, so on and so forth. You know, just the loss that you experience, how feeling violated. Like all of a sudden, you start looking at everyone. Have you ever had that happen? If your house gets stolen, now all of a sudden, everyone walking by down the street, who's that person? You know, get them caught, start calling the police. I hear a bump in the night. You know, whatever it might be. That we just know that there's a direct consequence to us when we are stolen from, and that's why God makes it part of the Ten Commandments in terms of not stealing. But now what I want to do, I want to turn our hearts or our attention to think about those things that are stealing that we might not think as such. maybe the more white-collar aspect. I think ultimately when we say, think don't steal, we think of, again, taking something from a store or someone at gunpoint or someone stealing a purse, someone breaking into a house. But there are other kinds of stealing that are just as much it's just so much an issue that this command is addressing as those other things. How about the idea of taking credit for something else that someone else did? You know, do you know people in your life that always try to paint themselves in a positive light? That they always try and make themselves look good, even to the extent of taking credit for what other people have done? And let's forget about someone else being like that. Are you like that? Do you tend to always paint yourself in a positive light? That ultimately, is there an aspect where you try and steal the reputation of someone else? Even to the extent of belittling someone and cutting someone down so you look better. I mean, there's a strange dynamic in our human souls where it's much easier for us to tear someone down than to build ourselves up. But when we do that, ultimately that's an aspect of stealing. We're stealing someone's reputation. We're stealing credit that someone else deserves. How about you when you're in a supervisory position? You're overseeing other people and they do something and you receive credit for it and you keep it. You don't mention what they had done. You know, so I think that is an aspect of stealing, again, that we wouldn't otherwise think about. How about plagiarism? For those of you in the academic realm, well, actually, for those of you who teach, for those of you who engage with information, I mean, any moment that we are sharing information that ultimately came from someone else, just right practice calls us to give credit where credit is due. That you recognize that. There's ways that you do that in terms of recognizing sources and having bibliographies and what are those things at the bottom of the page? Footnotes, there you go, where we recognize the sources. But see, Ryan's shaking his head. He knows about that. Those who are still in college, still pursuing an education, still getting a master's degree, whatever, those who are in high school, this is an important issue. That there is actually flagrant examples of people plagiarizing things. Again, taking credit for things that they have not done. And so ultimately, that is a form of stealing. How about those paper clips, pens and paper that you take from work? How about those little things and the ways you justify it? They don't pay me enough. Ever hear that? Ever think that? You know, they can afford this. They're a big company. Come on, I take a box of paper clips or I take a staple, you know, whatever it might be. I mean, what's another of the... Everyone else does it. How about that argument? I mean, those things that you think that ultimately justify what is ultimately stealing. Again, stealing is defined, again, it's just a clear thing to think when you're trying to discern, is this stealing or is whenever you're taking something that is someone else's. It doesn't matter if they have 1,000 and you have one, I mean, you have none, rather. If they don't give it to you, if they're not willingly releasing it to you, guess what? Then you're stealing it when you take it. How about employers not paying a fair wage? Not paying for overtime? Getting more out of their workers that is ultimately right? How about taking advantage of a weak labor market? That ultimately, okay, we know that there are 5 people waiting on the other side of that door that will take this job, so how am I taking advantage of that by pushing the envelope, pushing the limit in terms of getting more from you, that ultimately it's stealing? I mean, you know, the Bible certainly justifies the whole idea of private property and capitalism, and you own something, it's right for you to own that and to gain all the benefits from that. But when you're having people that are working for you, the Bible would also support the idea that you pay them a fair wage. You pay them what is right. A workman is worthy of his hire. And so ultimately, there's a place for both employers and employees that there's an aspect of stealing that can happen here. How about for employers not putting a day's work in for a day's pay? How about not doing the things that you know you're responsible for? Not putting your best effort forth. Again, that is stealing. In other words, if you're receiving a wage, if you're receiving payment to do a job and then you don't do it, that again is classified as stealing. How about taking advantage of a bargaining situation? Taking advantage of someone's ignorance. You know, you're at that yard sale and you find that thing that you know this is the Hummel or the plate with the right words on the back. And I mean, is there an aspect of stealing where you're taking advantage of someone's, like, this is theirs, they own this? You know, is there some way do I believe that if someone is selling something, they have a responsibility to recognize the value on it and put a fair price on it? But I think you know when there's a balance in terms of, or there's just a reality where you're taking advantage of a situation. And is there a place for you to say, do you recognize what this is? Do you recognize the value of this? So we feel like ultimately we're not taking from what is someone else's and taking advantage of the situation they're in. Again, just to benefit ourselves. How about receiving too much change or too much merchandise? That ever happened to you? You know, someone gives you a 10 when it should have been a 1? Or there's two things in there rather? You know, I had a situation once where I didn't even know how. I was buying deodorant and I ended up 2 in my bag rather than 1. I get out to my car and I go, yes, I don't think it's a big deal. I go back and I say, I only bought 1 of these. I'm here to give this back. And the person was like, this like never happens. People don't do this. Now, I'm imagining that incident happens, but people don't even think that way. Again, we justify it in terms of, well, that's Walmart. Walmart can afford to have let me have. I buy enough hair anyways. I spend a lot of money here. So, no, if it's theirs and it's not yours, then it's not for you to take. How about lying on your taxes? This is challenging. Particularly when you might think maybe what taxes the government is requiring of you isn't fair, or you don't agree with what the government is doing with your money. Guess what? That doesn't matter. That ultimately Jesus' instruction to his apostles, his disciples, and to all of us is give to Caesar what is Caesar's. So, you know, barring us through our representative government, and what we have is the means of changing the tax system, changing what burdens the government puts on us, when our elected officials in a free economy, in a free society, in a democratic republic, whatever we have here in terms of our governmental system, that when we have a voice, that once those elected officials dictate that, then guess what? Before God, we are responsible to pay what we rightfully should pay. Now, that doesn't mean we find all the deductions and all the credits and all the, you know, things that we would be allowed to get. But ultimately, when we lie in our taxes, that is stealing. We are stealing from the government in spite of what we think about that. And lastly, I would like you to think about, how about robbing God? If you can turn your Bible to Malachi 3. Again, all these aspects of stealing that we don't really think about stealing. This is not the guy at gunpoint, or again, the purse that's being snatched, or someone stealing something from a store. But all these things still count for stealing, and are ultimately a way that we break this eighth commandment. And I think there's an aspect of talking about robbing God, primarily because the book of Malachi speaks in those terms. And this is God speaking. This is God talking about stealing from him. So it says here in verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? And tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You know, ultimately, when God asks us to give, when God asks us to consider our income, our possessions to be His, it is not a thing of God having financial need. God is not saying, you know, something, I want to buy a Coke and I don't have enough money. You know, He owns a cattle on a thousand hills, all those pictures of His wealth, His glory, what God does independent of us and what He has independent of us. When God asks us to give, it is always a thing of faith. He is asking us to give so we internalize that dynamic in a very practical part of our lives. I mean, we take finances that ultimately could be used for something else and give it to God. I mean, what are we ultimately saying? We're saying thank you, but we're also believing. We're believing, God, if I do this, that you're going to honor that. And I believe whatever we resolve in terms of our giving, what we have to understand that is a portion of what you have that is God's. Now, ultimately, we don't tithe here. I mean, I don't believe that there's a legal requirement for us to give 10% of our income. But I believe that 10% is a God-ordained percentage that is a right place to start, at least orienting ourselves to that. And understanding that, even in a New Testament perspective, that, again, everything is God's, and now it's more what do I get to keep as opposed to what God is asking for. And what we have to understand, that if we don't tithe, it's not about the amount of money that changes. It's the heart and motivation that changes. See, we don't go to God and give because of a requirement. We give out of gratitude. We give out of faith. We give out of appreciation and an understanding that all we have is His anyways. So again, you know, like what Chuck Swindoll says about this, because what he says, okay, if you're saying you're giving under grace rather than giving under law, under which system should you give more? I mean, are you going to say that the law is going to generate more giving to God than grace would? In terms of, again, an expression of what God has provided for us. Now, what do we reciprocate to Him? What do we give to Him? And again, I am not saying this. I'm so glad we take the offering at the beginning, before the message. Because I'm not trying to boost an offering. I am calling you to be rightly related to your income. Because you know something, if there's a way for us as Americans to be skewed and warped in our lives, it's how we perceive our possessions and how we internalize the wealth that we have. And so there is a conversation with God in light, again, of this whole aspect of do not steal, and in terms of what Malachi is saying here, then in what way am I robbing God in terms of keeping something for myself that ultimately should be His? And again, this is all about thinking and putting our attention on things that we wouldn't normally think of stealing, but ultimately when we look at the scripture that He has. But just don't miss, and it would be remiss to not recognize this, just the promise that is here. You know, when He says, test me in this, like give, and just see how much I'm going to give in return. I think the last thing to think about, particularly since our time is over, is there ever a time where it's justified to steal? That's a challenging one. Think about it. If you lost your job, you lost your home, your kids were hungry. Is it right for you to steal? Is it right for you to steal bread? Is it right for you to steal food? Is it right for you to do this or do that? First of all, I love the movie Cinderella Man, just for what it is. And if you wanted to find a way to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, nice Irish boxer James Braddock and Cinderella Man is an account of his experience. Well, ultimately, James Braddock was a successful fighter that ended up breaking his hand in the ring, and this was during the Depression. And so he fell on hard times, whereas before he was making a decent income from boxing. Now he could hardly even get a job. And there was an incident where his son went into the butcher shop or the baker's whatever, and he stole something. And he brought it back. And you know what the guy, what James Braddock did? He took his son right back to the store. He had him replace it. But then he gave his son a compassionate yet stern talking to, and he said, "We never steal." You know something? There will always be a way that we will make this work. And I think that needs to be our heart. Because you know something? I don't know that there's a place where we break this commandment because of the nature of our need. Because on what level is it about not trusting God to provide? On what level is it about not being connected to people who can help? Let me say this, that in the context of church, in the context of a larger family, we should never think of having to steal. That ultimately, when we think about the resources of ours, that ultimately is everyone's, and there's a sharing that we should do, that there's no justification for us ever to steal. And so I think there's an aspect of trusting God that means there's not a justification for this. I mean, something we'll go to, and I'm not sure if this will be next week or after Easter, you know, when we talk about not bearing false testimony, when we talk about lying. I think with both of these commands, there's an aspect of it. Is there a legitimate time to lie? Is there a legitimate time to steal? And as I think about it in terms of the dynamics of God's character, of God's provision, of God's power, there is no justification. There is no justification for us to steal. And so with that, let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, I think ultimately in these commands, you're calling us to a way of living. You're calling us to an understanding of your character. You're calling us to just an understanding of what a believing community is supposed to function like. And so, Father, as we think about this command that may not be a struggle for many of us, Father, I just pray in whatever ways that you see that we're stealing, I pray that because of our study today, you would heighten our conscience. You would heighten our awareness when we ultimately are taking something that ultimately is someone else's. And so, Father, reveal those things to us, that we, in our desire for purity and our desire for sanctification, would come under your command, come under your supervision, come under your sovereignty, come under your care, come under your provision in terms of our lives. Because in some ways, when we think about not stealing, it really is about what do we believe about what you've provided? What do you believe about what we can withstand? What do we believe about the promise to take care of us? And so, Father, I just pray that you work this principle into all our lives and just help us to glean from what you desire for us in this command and what you might have us to use in terms of passing this on to others. And so, Father, it is in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, that we do pray. Amen.